need an Advil. Maybe a second chance. Hey!
Welcome to Stargate Second Chances, a Walking Through the Stargate podcast. I'm Zach.
And I'm Brent.
And this is episode 15, where we'll be talking about the season 3 episode, Crystal Skull.
Yeah! Crystal Skull!
Crystal
Woo!
Skull! Well, so, I do need to say a very special thank you to all of those who supported us on Patreon when we had the Patreon.
Yeah!
This is for you. And all I can say is I'm very sorry that it has taken us as long as it has to get this out to you.
It's fine.
But
here it is.
Here it is.
Yeah.
All good. So what we're doing here in Crystal Skull and Second Chances is that we, in the main feed, main podcast, we watch each episode once, one episode of Stargate per episode of the podcast,
yep.
Roughly once a week. And then talk about it. They're the first time Brent has ever seen it.
Yes.
And then we get a chance in these second chances to rewatch up older episodes and kind of talk about them again, re-review them, explore the things that we talked about the first time and new things, and then just give them new ratings. So that's what we're going to do. And if you want to support the podcast, you can do that by going to our website, which is WTTS.space.
Space.
Nice. And then in the lower right-hand corner, you can click that little coffee cup button when you go to buy me a coffee. And you can support it with a one-time donation, buy us a coffee, $3, $10, $100, whatever you want.
However you want to do it.
If you really do want to support the podcast, you can become a monthly supporter. You'd click on the lower link. There's a hyperlink there. I think it's called Buy Me a Coffee. I don't know. There's a button at the bottom of the page. Click on that, and then that should open up the main page for Buy Me a Coffee, and you can do all that stuff there.
Yes.
So, with all of that, we're going to move forward.
Yes.
This is Crystal Skull, Brent.
It is Crystal Skull.
Okay, the director for Crystal Skull was none other than Brad Turner.
Mm-hmm.
The teleplay is by Michael Greenberg and Jared Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And the teleplay is by the co-creator of Stargate SG-1, Brad Wright.
Yep.
The original air date for this episode was March 3, 2000.
Man, that's a long time ago now.
That's more than 24 years ago.
Uh-huh.
The IMDb rating for this episode was 8.0.
Yeah.
And there were 1,300 people who rated this episode. And so
okay,
that's
so,
it gets,
you know, there you go.
Pretty good. We reviewed this episode a long time ago, pre-pandemic, on January 11, 2020.
Oh, boy. Oh, life was green and good then, wasn't it?
Oh, my goodness, yes. Very, very different than... Yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So, Brent.
Yeah.
What's Crystal Skull about?
Yeah, so, you know, a little peek behind the curtain, friends. Normally, Zach writes the synopses for the main show, and I am responsible for writing the synopsis for Stargate Second Chances, and... I finished watching this episode, Zach, about 3 minutes before we started recording.
Ah. Well. So what you're saying is that it's very fresh in your mind.
So fresh. It is so fresh. It's fantastic. So in our show notes, I'm making a quip between Zach and I about how this is normally where I would write the thing and it's not here. So we're just going to do this. We're just going to do this on the fly. Here we go. You ready, Zach?
I can't wait. To hear what happens.
All right, so this is the one where we have Grandpa. We get Grandpa. We see Grandpa again. Last time I was so happy that we were going to be visiting Grandpa again, and here we are visiting Grandpa again.
Sort of.
Yeah, it's a bit cyclical, but you know, it's the details. Isn't that the nature of existence? Anyway, so this is the one where there's a little bit of an exploration. Obviously, this is one of the gates that gets dialed up from maybe the Abydos cartouches or something. We're firmly in exploration phase still. So you know, we see this giant stepped pyramid, just massive stepped pyramid, and Amelp goes in and looks inside, and it's really kind of neato. There's a lot of archaeological significance, which is why Daniel wants to go, and there are some really peculiar particle readings that seem to be absorbing neutrinos, which is why Nintendo's, which is why Samantha Carter wants to go. Captain? Was she captain at this point? Captain?
She's
Carter?
Major.
She's major. She's major. Major Carter. Okay. And and as O'Neill says, you know, like, you don't understand the significance of all those Nintendo's flying through you all at once. That was a little later. But anyway, So they decide to go, and just before they go, they enhance the video feed on the MELP, which, boy, was that some really good image enhancing technology, but whatever.
Impressive.
It's so impressive. And they discover that there is a crystal skull on a pedestal on this planet far, far away. Now, the thing that's significant about that is that it is almost exactly or is exactly like the crystal skull that was found in Belize at this time, 28 years prior from our time, 51 years prior.
Who found it, though, Brent? Who found it?
Yeah, it was found none other than by Nick Ballard, Grandpa.
Grandpa.
Yeah, the grandfather of our intrepid hero, Dr. Daniel Jackson, who was discredited in academic disgrace when he suggested that the skull transported him to another place where he met giant aliens.
You got to say that with more awe.
Oh, now I was about
giant
to just pivot.
Alien.
It pivots, though, directly into that. It seems that getting discredited in academia by suggesting that things are alien related seems to be something that is in the family tree for Dr. Jackson. But yeah, anyway. Yeah. So they go and they visit this place and they go walk on a catwalk and the green screen work is incredible. And they get to the pedestal and Daniel Jackson stares into the eyes of the skull, whereby an energy field begins to emanate in the form of rotoscoped lines. And Teal'c, in ever his infinite wisdom, decides to shoot it with a Zet Nicotel, and it disrupts the process and Daniel falls to the ground. And where is Daniel? They walk right through him, and the mystery begins. Daniel Jackson is trapped somehow, some way, someplace else. The team has no idea where he is. They go back to the SGC. They collapse onto the ground after having been exposed to radiation poisoning of some kind, of some way that creates the thermostat problem and makes Jack a little bit of a snarky guy when he's on the bed and makes Dr. Frazier have to give him like some tough medicine. Really fun. Good times. But they decide that it is probably important to go back and get that skull. Teal'c suggests that it is he who goes, as his symbiote protects him from the ill effects of the radiation. So he goes and he gets the skull. And that's when Daniel wakes up and he realizes that no one can see him. In fact, Teal'c walks right through him, which is weird. But Daniel is able to follow Teal'c back through the wormhole, which, boy, is that fortunate. And tries to interact with the situation back at the SGC. They give the skull to a hapless doctor who has appeared a few times on the show, and I can't remember his name.
Dr. Rothman.
That's him. And
This is the first time we meet him.
Oh, is it?
Might I'm not positive, time. But I think this is the first time we meet him.
Regardless, we're not too impressed with Rothman's abilities. And it's a paperweight. Can't seem to figure out what it's for. So the team decides to visit Nick Ballard, who is in a care facility, having gone slowly or quickly insane. No, it was quickly insane, I guess, after having had his experiences and having been rejected by the academic community. But anyway, they go and they say, hey, we need your help. And he's like, I don't know. And Daniel's like, no, you should really help because we need your help. And so, you know. But nobody can hear him, or so we think. And so Nick says, fine, I'll go. And so he heads on over there and he starts telling him, you know, his stories. And he sees the skull and he's really, really impressed. He's like, this is exactly like it. And so I went to a big old cavern and there was giant aliens. And everyone's like, well, other than the giant alien part, you pretty much exactly described what this particular scenario is looking like. So I guess we got to take Hiptiki seriously. And he gets escorted. Dr. Ballard gets next escorted to his little place where he's going to stay. And Daniel's there and they have a heart touching moment where Daniel thinks he's still invisible. And Dr. Ballard starts talking to the air, being like, I wish I could have told you, Daniel, that I was so sorry. And Daniel's like, yeah, but, you know, I was just a kid. And Ballard turns around and looks directly at Jackson, and he's like, I can't remember what he said, but it doesn't matter because we were establishing the fact that, holy cow, we can see Daniel. Nick can see Daniel. And at first, Nick is thinking he's just another one of his hallucinations, and Daniel's like, no, I'm here right now. We need help. So they go to the they go directly into the briefing room and General Hammond is able to do his best General Hammond.
What? Just tell me what the meaning of this.
You know, like he's doing his Leghorn Foghorn thing. And it's revealed that Daniel is right there, even though no one can see him. And there's some dialogue quips that make everybody realize that that's really what's happening, especially don't be an ass, Jack. That was great. And, you know, hey, if you get this done, you can go see your granddaughter's play.
I was alone in my office at that time. There's no way this guy's a creep.
Off they go. They shake the old man with them, and they go walk along that catwalk once more.
With a very great green screen.
Oh, boy. And they get there, and they place the skull down, and they're like, all right, just let it do its thing. And I think it was Daniel who was looking at the skull, just letting it do its thing, and it's doing its thing, doing its thing, doing its thing, doing its thing. And the thing happens, and everybody can see each other. Hooray! Except for Teal can't see anybody. Oh, no. And so he goes off stage, and the rest of the team then talk to a big, tall, really well animated creature. I think Teal goes off screen because I'm pretty sure that was the voice of Christopher Judge for the alien. At least it sounded to me like it.
I think it might be. I don't remember specifically yet.
So Christopher Judge is going off stage so that he can pick up the mic and voice this alien here. And so, are you a friend or an enemy is basically the question that gets posed. And we're like, we're the enemy of the gold, because this is season 3 and this is the thing that matters. And the big alien's like, sweet, so are we. Let's go exchange ideas and be awesome friends. And everyone's like, yay. And then Nick's like, it's going to be me. I'm the one. It's my life's work. Are you sure? I'm so sure, says Grandpa. And Daniel's like, yeah, awesome. I'll see you real soon, Grandpa. Goodbye, Grandpa. Ah, fade to black. Such a good show. That was what happened in this episode.
That is what happened in this show.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now that you've had a chance to rewatch this again.
Yeah.
What did you think about it this time around?
Oh, man. I am so glad that we have established this solid relationship with a species of alien that clearly have some powerful advantages. Did you see how tall they are? They're massive.
Giant. They're giant aliens.
And not only that, though, but they're also kind of like made out of mist. So, you know, like, who knows what possibilities might exist from this relationship? Maybe we will learn how to take the corporeal form of mist in a giant fashion. Can you imagine how advantageous that'll be in our fight against the Goa'uld? I can't wait to see what happens there. And that's, I mean, we're just even letting alone, like, what actually was happening with that skull, Zach? Like, what was occurring there? If it lets us get out of phase, maybe that is a fantastic tactical opportunity to infiltrate the Goa'uld. Maybe we can use this technology to get into the heart of their defenses and then phase back into reality to wreak havoc and then phase right back out and be just completely unseen. We're going to be the best stealth agents, Zach. I can't wait. This is going to be so much fun.
Maybe it'll come back, Brent.
Oh, I'm sure it will. We said we would. We absolutely promised that we're going to be back. We promised. And to wrap that up with a bow, I can't wait to revisit with Grandpa again after he has been with these species for a while and learned everything that he has learned, his life's work, the fulfillment of his own personal. It's so great. So great. I'm sure they probably have someplace else other than that one singular platform that he can go do his work on. Being mist creatures, the prospect of food might be a bit challenging, but you know, I mean, maybe they have like replicator technology or something. Maybe they can make him a cheeseburger. You know, I'm just spitballing here.
But I don't know if Grandpa would actually appreciate being turned into a cheeseburger.
Oh, that's a good point. I meant for him to eat, not for him to turn into. But
okay.
You know, hey, I'm super excited. Maybe we'll see more of this here in season 3 that, you know, right around the corner, right?
Like, well, this is the very end of season 3.
This is
so
the end.
Probably not any more of this in season 3.
That's a good point. We'll see this in season 4. That's right. Yeah, you know, get us the summer to kind of, you know, think about it for a little bit and then bring it on in and have Grandpa come in with some pretty rad technology or something that's really going to help us with the Goa'uld. It's going to be great. It's going to be super great. I bet you that it's really going to absolutely just take care of our Apophis problem. Like, I'm really excited. So, yeah. In no way am I vastly disappointed that this was a set of threads that seemed to have absolutely no connection at all with the story at large. And in no way am I disappointed that we absolutely did not see anything of this ever again. Because Grandpa, why would we leave Grandpa there? Why would we abandon Grandpa there? Like, that makes no sense, Zach. Why would we leave him on a pedestal and just never say hi to him again and just forget that he existed and never mention his name for the rest of the series? Why would we do that, Zach? I can't imagine that. To be fair, the series
isn't over yet.
I will buy you a box of donuts if we ever hear the words Nick Ballard in that order ever again.
Okay.
So, truly, I did enjoy watching this truly because of the gags that we were even making way back when. I think I was genuinely excited about Grandpa. I think somebody made an illusion that we'll never see Grandpa again, and I refuse to believe it. Just refuse. So what about you, Zach? What'd you think about it after this watch?
So, you know, I enjoy this episode. I think it's a fun episode. It is a one-off episode. It's an episode that we really never revisit again with any serious matter. There's a quaintness to this episode. It's just it's so quaint.
Oh.
You know, I mean, it's back such an episodic simple. Science fiction show, right?
Yeah. Sort yeah.
We find ourselves on a distant planet that has connections to our ancient past.
Yes.
And we're like, oh my goodness, what do we do? And then it turns somebody invisible and they can walk through walls and such, and people walk through them, but they don't fall through the floor because naturally. Stuff, you know. And then you solve the problem and you have these potentially super powerful aliens with lots of interesting potential tech that, you know, or even cultural. I mean, these are connected to the ancient Maya.
Yes.
You know, so there's our cultural archaeology going on potentially there too. I mean, you know, let's set aside for the moment the terrible idea of Western society, assuming that all cultures not Western were supported by aliens. However, if we set that aside completely, we don't actually have a show.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Let's just assume that this is the case, then there's just a lot of possibility there. And of course, very typical science fiction fashion, we have, well, then you're friends of us. Let's have a party.
Yeah.
I'll never see you again.
Yeah. Yeah.
And one of ours will go and visit with you, and they'll be in a place that just seems not well thought out. Because, as you said, you know, cheeseburgers don't grow on trees.
I mean, many things do, including things you can eat, but it doesn't look like they even have that.
Yeah, you know, right now they have a giant stone pyramid that's hollow, which by itself is pretty impressive, because pyramids don't actually make good hollow structures.
No. Well, but devil's advocate, that just means that this group of aliens, like their architectural technology then is way beyond what we know how to do.
Physics. I don't even know anything about physics, but physics.
Yes, that's the point. Clearly there are supports throughout the superstructure of the pyramid that put the force vectors through the walls into the base in a way that is completely impossible for us to consider how to do right now.
All right. You know what? It's science fiction. I'll buy it. You know, it was really fun this time around because, like, you know, it's like I really love seasons 9 and 10. I think they're really good stories, and I love the characters that have developed from the original characters. You know, how they have grown, they've changed. Teal'c's like all the characters have grown organically By the time we get to the ninth season. So now we're looking back six seasons earlier than where we are currently in our show, in the first regular podcast. And we have, you know, O'Neill's there and Hammond's there. Hammond is just short, stalwart Hammond. He doesn't seem to change at all, which is great.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just kind of fun to look back and see, you know, the characters back in the day. You know, just like, oh, yeah, that was awesome. I liked that. It was just great. You know, I do appreciate Teal'c's line, you know, O'Neill is about to get off the bed. And it says, you know, Dr. Frazier says you should stay here and rest. Yes. You're not strong enough for this. And then he's like, no, I can do it. Wham.
Yep.
Dr. Frazier is usually right on these subjects.
Yes. And just then he helps him get back up, face down.
Deadpan.
Thanks.
You know, it's just, you know, classic Teal'c.
Oh, yeah.
If you will. So it's just fun. That's about all I got.
Yeah. No, I'm not one to particularly like to rewatch episodes of television shows just in general. It's just not a thing that I really enjoy all that much. I can appreciate, though, how people would enjoy watching season 3, 4, 5 because it does feel like we were at the peak of this version of SG-1.
Mm-hmm.
Like the actors knew who their characters were. We were really, really into the vibe really well. The interplay between the actors was just so good. It was so good. We just got done watching The Fourth Horseman Part 2. I had made a mention about how I'm enjoying how Michael Shanks and Ben Browden are playing their characters to have Jackson and Mitchell with their interplay, and how it's not the same as Jackson and O'Neill at all, but it's still enjoyable. It's showing that these actors are finding their vibe and they're playing off of each other. It's nice. It's taken us, you know, 11 episodes or whatever on that season to kind of get to where we are here. Yeah. We're at the end of the third season and and things are clicking, like it's just working. And the interplay between Frazier and O'Neill was great. You know, watching Jackson be frustrated and reacting and how he's engaging with it. We're starting I don't know if we're starting, but like I'm seeing plenty of Michael Shanks and less James Spader. Right. There's still a little bit of Spader in there, but not much. It's you know, it's now kind of more of Michael Shanks's character. That Daniel Jackson that we love, that we mourned when he was lost and then celebrated when he was back and then mourned when he was lost again and celebrated, you know, the thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was charming. It was really charming. I know that Christopher Judge did not like the gold makeup, but I do. He looks cool, man. Like, I get it. It's a pain in the butt. It's not cool to, or not fun to have to be in that stuff. But, you know, that look was a good look.
Yeah, it definitely had an alien vibe to it.
Sure did. And that stoicism and that, you know, that woodenness, it just I liked it a lot. It was good stuff.
Yeah. And, you know, I love that character of old. At the same time, I appreciate how it has evolved and how Christopher Judge has evolved that character. Because, I mean, you know, I'm different than what I was 10 years ago.
We're different than who we were when we recorded the original version of this episode.
That's true. That's very true. Okay. Any other thoughts real quick before we dig into some of the things that we talked about last time?
Nah, this was fun.
All right.
I absolutely stand by my tropey, desire to see Grandpa again. But, you know, it was a good time.
Okay. So, I am going to ask you now, before we get to the what we talked about last time, how would you rate this this time?
How would I rate it this time? This is a little bit of a challenge because I have such a positive nostalgia for my thoughts and feelings about the episode, or at least my memory of my thoughts and feelings about the episode that is tainting it positively. This episode is fine. This episode had a number of weaknesses that were obvious, and having seen it again and understanding just how it doesn't fit into anything, it gives it some knocks, but on the not the good knocks, but on the other hand, it also, like, I can't not just think positively about it because of all of this lore that I have built around it of my own making. I'm going to give it a 4. I'm going to give it a 4 out of 7. I think that the episode itself is modestly fine. It's fine. It's fine. The acting was really good. I really like the acting. The special effects were fine. They were fine. They were not jaw dropping. I mean, I don't think they were jaw dropping even for 2000, but it worked. It got the point across. You know, the weird logical inconsistencies of how can Ghost Daniel walk through a wall but not fall through the floor. That's, you know, a good question, I think. You know, does it matter? Not really. But does anything about this episode matter? I mean, no, it doesn't. So, you know, 4 out of 7 for me. And yeah, if I was not feeling quite as generous, it probably would be a decent bit lower. But I am feeling generous. But what about you? How many chevrons do you give it now?
So I'm going to give it 6 chevrons this time around.
Hello. Okay.
Just because it's nostalgia.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, even today, I still every once in a while go like the giant aliens.
Yeah.
you know, it's just become part of my lexicon.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just fun. And it's just a nice way of you know, just looking back at things. You know, yeah, so I'll just do it to 6. I think, yep. I don't have anything much to say. Okay, so Crystal Skull.
Yeah.
Brent.
Yeah.
Your comments from the first time we watched this.
Yeah.
Plausible, convincing, fun science fiction story.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. Yep.
It's fun to have Jackson in the background reacting the whole time.
Yeah.
Yep. Disappointed that we won't see Nick again.
Yeah.
Okay, and then here's your quote.
Okay.
I wasn't completely blown out of the water from the start, but by the time the thing wrapped up, I really, really, really like it. It had lots of little moments of humor, lots of little moments of enjoyment, and interesting story. Good emotional connection. I don't think it fell down flat on anything.
I was really positive. Okay.
You were really positive on it. Start to finish, a lovely time. That's your overall review.
Yeah. I mean, I could. Yeah, that's logical. Yeah, I can see that.
All right. Before we get to your old prediction, your chevrons, let's just go through what I said.
Yeah.
Like it and find it fun. Good story. Glossed over the radiation problem and other physical and scientific improbabilities.
Yeah.
Yep. Knocking it slightly for technical problems. Bad green screen. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The green screen is awful.
Yeah, sure was.
Okay. So I gave it 6 out of 7 chevrons.
Hey, you're consistent. Around. Did I give this 7?
You gave it 7.
Oh, I was feeling good that day.
Yes, you were. So it's also worth noting, and Julie kind of chuckled. So one of the things that Julie does for us is she re-listens to our podcast and writes these notes that I shared just now.
Yeah.
And when you listen to this podcast after you give your chevron ratings, I probably said something about what that was, like, you know, so you give it 7 chevrons. You can hear her in the background saying, "Good answer, good answer," because this is one of Julie's favorite episodes.
Oh,
and
nice.
She would give it 7 out of 7, and and you giving it 6, giving it 7 is the right. And if you get, she hears this and you give it 4. She's going to say, boo.
That I was wrong. That this is deserving of 7. Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah.
I'm wrong every day. So I guess I got it out early. There we go.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we have to say about that.
Yeah.
I don't really have much more to say about it. It's a fun episode.
It's fun.
It's a really good quintessential third season episode. You know, it doesn't do a whole lot. Doesn't really advance the storyline at that point in time. And at least till the ninth, halfway through the ninth season, we haven't seen any evidence of Nick Ballard or any of the things that we learn in this episode coming back.
Remember how I said that time is kind of weirdly cyclical?
Yep.
Yeah. Did I say that when we were recording? Or doesn't matter. We totally will. It'll be in the 10th season. We absolutely are going to see Nick Ballard again, 10th season. And there's going to be not a problem, because when we see him again, for him, time will both have simultaneously not passed at all, but also passed a long time. Because remember, because Daniel did not feel hunger or thirst when he was in that zone.
We've answered the cheeseburger problem.
And so therefore, we absolutely will have. So what's going to happen is that the big aliens are going to help us solve the Ori problem.
All
with the power of the crystal skull. I am back for this, baby. This is going to be a good time. Woo!
Do you need to rechange your 4 to a 7 again?
No, I stick with my ratings. Like I said, sometimes being wrong is just the way it is. But I will say that I just added another layer of my own lore that makes me like it even more.
Ah, well, there you go. So with all of that, because Brent doesn't have anything more to say.
No, I sure don't.
Nope, I don't have anything more to say. If you have any comments about this episode or about Crystal Skull or anything, you can email us at walkingthroughstargate@gmail.com. You can, of course, join the conversation on Facebook and Discord. Yep. And all those things, visit our website, wtts.space.
Space.
And if you want to support the podcast in this new iteration, you can do that by going to Walking Through the Stargate. Or you can go buymeacoffee.com/walkingthrough or to the website and click on the button there.
Yep. It's all there.
With all that, I say I'm Zach.
And I'm Brent.
This has been Stargate Second Chances. See you next time.
Bye.